Hello, my name's Mike Talty and I work at Microsoft in the UK. And this is one of a number of videos around a technology called PRISM, sometimes known as the Composite Application Guidance. This comes from the Microsoft Patterns and Practices team and largely targets building Silverlight and WPF applications. But you can use some of the techniques and the pieces delivered outside of those spaces. So you kind of get two things with PRISM. You get some documentation and you get some libraries in the form of source code that you can build up for WPF or Silverlight. And as I say, you don't have to use these inside of those kinds of applications, but some of the technologies in PRISM are specific for UI work with these two technologies. PRISM has a friend called Unity, which is another framework, and we'll talk about that as well in these videos. And in terms of finding these things, if you want to find PRISM and so on, if you just pop to a search engine, type in PRISM and CodePlex and you'll find PRISM. If you want to find Unity, type in Unity and CodePlex and you'll find Unity. If you want to find these videos, you can go to channel9msdn.com/niners/mtalty, that's me, and I'll put these videos on this site here. If you want to find me, you can go to mtalty.com, that's my blog, and you'll find it there. If you want to find me on Twitter, you can go to twitter.com/mtalty and you can find me on there as well. And if you want to find me on email, I'm just mtalty@microsoft.com. Okay, so I think we're here in video 7. And what I want to do here, much like we did in the other videos, is build on what we already did in video 6. At the end of that, we had some modules, and those modules were contributing services, and they were contributing UI services that we might call views. And we'd kind of built those in the simplest way as a sort of XAML-based declarative view, living on top of something that it data bound to, which was a view model, which then got data from something called a model. And so we kind of tried to do a very simple version of this model view, view model pattern that people typically use in PRISM applications. And we'd also injected our views into regions controlled by a region manager, at least. Yeah, we'd done the basics of that. So what I want to do here in video 7 is look at what happens when the user wants to do something, so sort of responding to some kind of UI action. What do we do? Because we haven't got anything at all like that so far. So let's close this down, don't save, and pop back to Visual Studio and pop into our solution that we've been playing with all the way along, or at least since we jumped into Silverlight. Let me go and open CTEMP, my demo application, and spring that thing up. Okay, so as it stood at the moment, we had two modules contributing into our application. I won't run through the whole thing, but essentially at the moment we've got one service, and the service is hidden in this interface here, and it allows us to get a piece of text. So let's be extremely radical here, and let's implement a new method on this. And to stick with this getText focus, I suppose what we'll have is a method called setText with the string new value, something like that. And then I guess we'd want to have some kind of event that fired whenever the text actually changed. And we'll just say event handler, let's do it that way, text changed. Now, of course, you might just have a text property and you might implement or derive from iNotify property changed here, but I'm just doing this for the moment just to be sort of really simple. And so we've got getText, setText, and we'll fire an event when the text changes. We won't tell you about the new text. You'll have to come back and call getText again in order to figure that out for yourself. Okay, great. Let's do that. Now we need to implement that, so let's go and implement that. Let's go to our service, which is defined by module A. It contributes this text service. Let's just go implement those new pieces. And let's implement setText. So what we need to do is have a piece of text. We need to return it up here. We need to set it down here. We need to initialize it maybe in the constructor, something like that. And I suppose we should also fire our event at the point where the text changes. So we could check to see if they're different values. Let's just assume they are. Let's see if text changed is not equal to null. Then we'll fire text changed. Fine, so we're going to fire that. That's great. Okay, so that's all fine so far. So if we want our views to all respond to this particular event, then we're going to kind of use this text service as a shared service across those views. Now, that might make sense or it might not. In my case, all of my views are using the text service, so it kind of makes sense. But there's often going to be cases where your views are not sharing services and you don't want to use a service just to introduce a communication mechanism between those things. So there's other ways of doing communication mechanisms, and we'll come back and talk about that towards the end of this video. But for the minute, I'm going to use my text service that way. And at the moment, I think when we do our registration in the module definition, in my register services function, I register this as a type, which means that different views are going to get different text services as and when they demand them. So I don't want that anymore. I want to register an instance. So we're kind of making a singleton of this thing right now. So we'll go ahead and say this is an iText service. What we want is an instance of that, which is going to be new text service. So this module now is registering an actual live object as opposed to just a type. Okay, so that's fine. Okay, so just closing some windows down there, let's go and take a look at one of our views. So module A, view 1, is one of our really brilliantly named views. And at the moment, it just has a text block. Let's put a little bit more UI in here. So let's throw a stack panel in here. And into that stack panel, let's not just have the text block, let's also have a text box. Come back to that in a second. And let's have a button, the content of which will be change text, something like that. Now, I'm very deliberately using a text box that is not bound to this piece of text, just to illustrate a concept here. Normally, we would just bind it to the text, but I want to have something to play with to use my button here, so we'll come back to that in a second. Now, usually what we do is, if this button is going to change the text when you click on it, then we would write a click handler. So we'd say click equals, and we put some code into the code behind. The problem with that is if we go to our code behind, which is our view, up until now this view has been really entirely declarative. So up until now this view only knows that there is a view model. It doesn't really know anything about that, it just puts it into its data context and that's it. If we start to put a bunch of functionality into here, then we'd have to come to be able to test this class in isolation. But this class is formed from a lump of XAML with UI and the code behind, so it gets rather difficult to do that. And we don't really want to teach this class any more about this model than just to data bind to it. Consequently, we don't really want this click handler in here. So I'm going to take it back out again. Let's go back to the XAML. So how do we solve the problem of handling the click event on the button declaratively without putting code into the code behind file here and cluttering up our view? In WPF, there is a concept of commanding. So in WPF, you'll find items like buttons and menu items and so on have commands associated with them. And the idea of a command is it's something that you can kind of execute, and it's something you can also ask to check whether execution is allowed or not. So it has the notion of whether it's sort of enabled or not. Silverlight doesn't really have the notion of commanding. It does support the iCommand interface, but there are no commands in the framework that you'll find. Also, WPF has, again, a more flexible framework around binding these commands to actual pieces of code, which is missing from Silverlight. So that's not too bad, because Prism comes along and contributes the idea of commanding, at least at a basic level. And what it means is that we can actually handle things like the click interaction here outside of any code that relates to this visual tree of elements. So we don't have to put handlers into code that's associated with this. We can actually put those handlers somewhere else. And so the way that this works is that we put the commands and the handlers typically for them as well, although that's not really prescribed, onto our view models, because we're already binding to the view model, so we could use that. So let's get rid of this click handler here. We're not going to use that. And let's go over to our view model. Okay, so our view model is this guy here, module A, view 1, view model. Oh, do I wish that I'd come up with different names for these things. Okay, so here's our view model, and it knows about everything that's going on that view. It provides the data that goes on the view through this text property. So it can also provide a command that can be used on the view. And there's a couple of different kinds of commands built into Prism for Silverlight, but fundamentally what we want is an I command. And let's call this the change text command for argument's sake. Okay, and this is a property that we want to bind to. And so we need to keep a command around. Let's call this the change text command. And what we'll do is we'll say if change text command is null, so we'll just lazily assign this. Otherwise, just return it. And if it is null, we need to create it, so we'll make one. And there's two different kinds of commands in the framework, the most common being the delegate command, i.e. a function that takes some argument and does something. So I think to bring that in, we'll need a new reference. Let's just check the references for this project. Yeah, let's just go and add a reference to another Prism library. It's the composite presentation library that we brought in our shell in order to define regions. So let's use that here as well. So what we want here is a delegate command. We're going to pass it a string. That's what's going to execute. And you have a choice now. You can either write an action inline, or you could write an action as a separate method. So let's go and write an action as a separate method just to make it clear. So we'll say on change text command executed, something like that. You can also write another function that returns whether the command is enabled or not. So, you know, very simply, I could just say s produces true. So that would be fine. And that would tell you whether the command could execute or not. In this case, it would be hard-coded to say yes. But the default's going to leave it enabled anyway, so we'll just do that. Let's write a private function, void on change text command executed. And that's going to take a string, new text, something like that. Okay, great. So hopefully that now matches that pattern. So we have now this command of type iCommand, which is called the change text command. And what we need to do is surface that in our data-bound view. So let's go back to the view. And we need in here to bring in the Prism support for commanding. So let's say XML namespace commands equals. And let's go and see if we can find commands in here. Presentation.co looks like commands to me. Let's have a look. So this is just mapping into a commands namespace in the presentation namespace of the practices stuff. And so what we want on our button here is a property, commands colon click, command equals, and we want to bind that to whatever we just called that thing on our model, which I've already forgotten. It's called change text command. Let's just copy that. Let's go back over here. And so hopefully you can see what we're saying is this button fires this command, change text. And that is not in the code behind. That's not anything to do with the visual elements that form the UI. That's just somewhere else. Now, the other thing we want to pass to that is a string. And you perhaps now start to see the reason why I left this text box on the screen. Let's set a min width on that. So let's say equals 192. Let's set a name on it. Let's say text value, something like that. Because when you fire this command, I also need to pass commands click dot command parameter, which is going to be binding. We can say element name equals text value, path equals text. Okay, so we're saying that this button fires this command with this parameter. Okay, so that's what it's going to do. Now, I don't think we've finished the implementation yet of this command, so let's go back to our view model. And when the command actually executes, we're going to run this function. And what we want to do is say text service dot set text with the new text. Now that's fine, that's going to go down into our central one and only text service and change that piece of text when you click that button. However, no one's going to get notified because we're not handling any kind of notification right now. So, on our view models, which are data bound, we need to make sure that the text property is flagged as changing whenever the text service tells us that it's changed. So let's do that pretty simply. Standard way of doing that is by implementing iNotify property changed. So let's just throw that on there. It just gives us an event to fire. And we could write a base class for all our view models, I guess, at this point for this kind of functionality, but we'll leave it for now. I'll take away this private setter because we weren't using it anyway. And what we'll do is we'll say, okay, we want to handle the text services text change event such that when that fires, what we need to do is we need to say property changed, if somebody's synced up to it. I want to pass the name of text. That's what's changed at that point. So we're just saying whenever the text service tells us our text has changed, we say our property called text has changed, and whoever's bound to us will come back in and call the text service to get the text again. I'm probably going to steal that little bit of code and do a bit of copy and paste reuse on this, which is not really too clever. But that's one view model that we've got. Just because all our view models are so similar, let's go to view model 2, and it needs to do the same thing. It also needs to implement iNotify property change, and it needs to do a very similar thing around its text service as well. That should be okay, I think. And then finally, if we go to our other module, which is down here, got a view model in there, which uses the text service, and it needs to do a similar thing, and also implement iNotify property changed. And again, that's okay, we don't have a setter on that thing anyway. So now what we should have is, if we can build all this up, and let's see what happens at the point where we run it. And let me see if I can just put a breakpoint into where that command actually executes, which would be in our module A view 1 view model. So here is when the command actually executes. So let's press F5 on this. Let that spin up. Okay. So there's our three different pieces of view that we've got: the hello world, the 11, and the hello. Those are the three different views that we've tried to represent. So what I want to do is put in a new piece of text here and click change text on it, and we can see that that new text is being passed through. It's going into the service that's setting the text. Press F5, that should be sending out those notifications through the property change mechanism, and everyone picks up the new text, and the length of new text is 8. And so you can see how that is kind of firing through the application, picking up the new value. But that we did this by not implementing a click handler in our view, which I've just kind of lost for a second. We bound the button to a particular command. We even managed to pick up the command parameter from that that command invocation. We pass that through to a handler, which is not in the code behind for this particular view. There's nothing in the code behind really for this particular view. It goes through to the view model, and our view model over here says whenever you execute that command, call this function, and we change the text, and then the rest is just property change notification from there on in. So hopefully you get an initial idea as to what commands are doing for us. Now, what we could do with this is, it's perfectly possible that we could have the same command bound to multiple UI elements. And as we said, we can implement a function where the command will check whether it is enabled or not. And so obviously disabling it in that one place will disable it for all those UI elements that are trying to use it. So that's quite an interesting thing. We could possibly also, it may make sense in some cases, not to have the actual handler for the command here on the view model. It might make sense to have it in some other class somewhere, some controller class somewhere, depending on really the complexity of what you're doing. In our case here, really, the command handler is really on the text service, because all we're doing here is delegating this straight down to that text service. But that might not be, you know, the same sort of scenario in a real world sort of application. So it may make sense to have some of the delegate commands pointing to functions that are not even on the view model, but instead just on another class that is shared across multiple view models. That might be something else that you might want to do. The other thing to bear in mind is that there are different kinds of commands. There's two in the framework. There's delegate command and composite command. Composite command essentially aggregates up a bunch of commands for you, and you can build your own command types. So it's not just that there is this these two. You can actually go and build your own command types as well. So that's a useful thing to be aware of. And then I think what we're doing here, ultimately, is we're using the text service as a communication mechanism. So just to close down a few windows for a second, what we've done is we've implemented this sort of singleton. I've forgotten where it is, this guy here, the text service. We register one of those for the whole application, And this piece of state here and this event handler are effectively providing a sort of rendezvous point around this piece of data and every time it changes. Now, in some cases, that may well work because our two modules both display at the moment views that rely on services provided by that text service, even if only at the interface level. They don't know about the implementation, but they know that they're both dependent on the text service. Now, if you've got 20-odd modules coming in, it's unlikely that every single one will need the text service. However, you may need the ability to share notifications across those modules. So module 3 may need to know when something happens in module 7, but they may not have a common underlying service. In which case, you would probably say, well, that's okay, because I can build a common underlying notification service that's kind of loosely coupled to support that interaction. And that's where we'll go in our next video, because there's already one of those in the Prism libraries. So we'll kind of rework this code in the next video to stop communicating via the text service and communicate a different way.